we prepare for a baptism this morning, I want to look with you for a few minutes into God's Word and see what God says to us about baptism. There are many views being taught and believed about baptism. Many people believe that baptism is what saves you. You know, if you'll just be baptized, join the church, you're good to go, and that's your free ticket to heaven. That's not true. Some say baptism washes away your sin. Well, that'd be good if that were true, because if that were true, if you're on the city water system, that's the same water that we have in the baptistry. So every time you take a bath, it'd be washing your sins away. That'd be great, wouldn't it, if that's all it took? That's not the case. And so I want to look with you this morning about what the Bible says about baptism, the truth of baptism, looking at baptism, the why, the when, and the how of baptism. And so as we begin to look at that, first of all, we need to know why. Why is it we even need to be baptized? What's the necessity of that? Why is it absolutely necessary for you to be baptized to get into heaven? No, according to the Bible, that's not true, because we think about the thief on the cross who was hanging next to Jesus when Jesus was crucified, and he was saved hanging on that cross, and Jesus said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." He wasn't baptized in water baptism. Let me correct that. He wasn't baptized in water baptism. And we're going to see a little bit later on the true meaning of baptism. And from that standpoint, the thief on the cross was baptized. And we'll see that in a little bit. So why is it that we should be baptized? Looking at Matthew's Gospel in chapter 3, and we see the account of where John was baptizing, and Jesus came to him to be baptized. And I want to read that quickly, if you'll look with me in Matthew chapter 3, beginning verse 1. The Bible says, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, 'O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance, or fruits that give evidence of repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, or because of repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up his chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan to John to be baptized of him, but John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. Comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him, or allowed him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So, why should we be baptized? What did Jesus say to John there? He said there in the 15th verse, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. It's something we need to do to fulfill all righteousness, to complete God's will for each of us. So we need to be baptized to fulfill all righteousness so that we do what Christ told us to do. And, you know, Jesus gives us a great commission, or the great commandment. It's recorded over in the 28th chapter of Matthew, verses 18 through 20, where Jesus speaking says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Jesus is all powerful in heaven and in earth. And he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. So here Jesus is giving us what we call the Great Commission, or the Great Commandment. He tells us to start with it. He has all power in heaven and earth. And then he tells us to go. Wherever we go, we need to be teaching people about Jesus, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Our lives should be lived in such a way that people can see Christ in us, and they will have a desire to experience what we've experienced, because we're going to be teaching them to observe all things. How do we teach? We teach by example. We teach by the life that we live. When we go out in the highways and byways, our life needs to be lived out like what we say we believe, not just, you know, we don't just put on our Christianity and come to church on Sunday morning. It's when we are genuinely saved, it's something that is lived out in our lives 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And people are learning from us by watching our lives. People learn, just like our children learn, how to do things by watching us. You know, when I was a child, I learned a lot of things by watching my dad doing things, by watching my mother doing things. I learned a lot of things because of what they did. Yes, I learned a lot of things by what they said as well. But they're saying what they told me and what they did lined up. And so what they told me to do were things that they were doing. And so that's the way we learn, and that's the way we teach, is by living out our faith and not just telling people to do something that we're not willing to do. Then we do that. And so why should we be baptized? Because God commands it. That's His commandment, that we should do that. Since, you know, and He set the example for us, so we're following His example because He was baptized, then we're following His example and we're following His commandment. If we need to be baptized because God has commanded us to do that, and Jesus set the example for us to follow, then when should we be baptized? What's the prerequisite for baptism? If you notice in that scripture we just read there in Matthew, we saw the word repentance, or repent, mentioned several times. He said in verse 2, repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. In verse 6, he mentioned confessing their sins. In verse 8, he said, bring forth therefore fruits and meat of repentance, or deeds that give evidence of repentance. In other words, don't just talk the talk, but walk the walk. You know, do the things that don't just tell people you're a Christian. Show people you're a Christian by the life you're living, by the things you're doing. And then in verse 11 again, he says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, or because of your repentance. And so John mentions repentance and repenting of your sins. There are several times confessing your sins in that scripture. In Luke chapter 13, Jesus was teaching on repentance, and it was obviously pretty important because he repeated the same words, word for word, twice. In Luke chapter 13, in verse 3, and again in verse 5, Jesus said, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And so, if you don't repent, you perish. Say, well, I was baptized. Jesus said, if you hadn't repented, that baptism ain't gonna get you nowhere. Okay? The prerequisite for baptism is repentance. And so, baptism without repentance is a waste of time and energy, because it does nothing for you. Because there we see that repentance is a prerequisite for baptism. And then we're commanded to be baptized. Jesus set the example, so that's the reason we ought to be baptized. The prerequisite is repentance. We repent of our sins and ask the Lord to forgive us and take control of our life. We allow Him to become our Lord, the controlling interest in our lives. We begin to live for Him, do the things that honor Him, and show that we truly have repented and accepted Him. We begin to bring those fruits. We begin to produce those fruits. Our life begins to be lived out. The Bible tells us, talk about salvation, it says before we're saved, we're dead in trespass and sin. And when we're saved, the Bible says we put to death that old sin nature and we're raised to walk in newness of life. So when we genuinely repent of our sins, you know, we become a new person, a new man, a new woman, because we have a change of heart, a change of attitude. The things we once loved, we now hate. The things we once hated, and we now love. And so there's a change that takes place when there's a genuine repentance. And so we're baptized because Jesus has commanded us to do that. He set the example for us, and then the prerequisite is that we must be saved. We must repent of our sins, trusting Jesus to be our Savior and let Him become Lord of our lives. And so then if we have followed His commandment and we have accepted Christ as our Savior, we have repented of our sins, then how should we be baptized? According to God's Word, when baptism is mentioned, it's always mentioned about immersion. When Jesus was baptized there in Matthew chapter 4, verse number 16 says, and Jesus, when He was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. He was out in the water, and so He came up out of the water. Anytime the Bible talks about being baptized, and the definition of baptizing means to be immersed or to put under, buried. And so the proper way, according to God's Word, and the way we understand God's Word is to be immersed or to put under, to be buried in the water. I've talked to some members of other denominations who use the method of sprinkling rather than immersion, and I've asked some very educated, committed people in those educations if they could give me some scripture to support sprinkling versus immersion, and they've never been able to produce any scripture that says, you know, the Bible says that, that we sprinkle rather than immerse. And so, you know, that sprinkling was started many years ago as a form of convenience. You know, it was more convenience rather than having to, you know, go somewhere to a body of water, or now in later years we have the baptistries in the church, like I hear behind me. That's a form of convenience. You know, I'm glad to go to the river or wherever somebody wants to go to be baptized. But sprinkling was originally started as a matter of convenience, because it's easier for them to take a little pan of water and just sprinkle a little water on somebody's head and say, been baptized. Well, that's there's no scriptural basis for that. And so the reason that we baptize the way we do is because that's the way the Bible commands us to do that. And so we want to do according to God's Word, right? We're not necessarily about convenience. You know, it wasn't real convenient for Jesus when he was beaten and they spat upon him and pressed a crown of thorns on his head, pierced his side. They beat the flesh off his back and then hanged him on a cross. That wasn't real convenient for him, was it? So do we need to do everything out of convenience? You know, I think it's all right if we'll go a little bit extra to honor him and to do what he's commanded us to do. And so according to God's Word, when baptism is mentioned, it's mentioned about going down in the water, coming up out of the water, being immersed, being buried with water, not being sprinkled with water. And so looking back there, of course, and again in Matthew chapter 3, where Jesus came up out of the water when he was baptized. And so we follow that example, Jesus Christ. And Jesus was baptized. Again, I mentioned earlier that baptism don't wash any sin away. Jesus wasn't baptized to wash any sin away. He didn't have any sin. He was sinless. He never sinned. He's the only person that has lived on this earth that lived a life here completely sinless. He never sinned. I've had people tell me that they didn't sin. Well, when they told me that, they were lying. So they were sinning at that particular point, because no man has ever lived except Jesus Christ that's not sin. We're born with a sin nature. When we're born, we have that sin nature. We don't have to learn how to be selfish, you know, want our way when we want it. How many babies you ever saw that, you know, when they get hungry, they don't pitch a fit? You know, when that diaper needs changing, you know, they just lay calmly and quietly and say, well, you know, I'll get old enough here for long where I can change my diaper and I won't bother somebody else, you know. No. They're born with that selfish nature. They want what they want when they want it. We have to be taught, you know, and we have to be helped. Well, baby Christians have to be helped too, by the way. We need to encourage those who are new in the faith, because it's a new person, a new birth experience, and they, just like that baby that's just been born to us in the physical realm, just like that baby needs caring for, needs somebody to help feed them and take care of them and change them. But they don't stay babies forever. You know, they grow and eventually they get to where they can go get them something to eat. They can walk. They start off crawling and then they start pulling up and they start walking a little bit and they fall. And we as parents and grandparents, just when they fall, we just say, well, you get up whenever you get to where you can. No, we jump up and run, pick them up, don't we? We run, pick them up, brush them off, help them. That's what we need to do to our baby Christians. We don't just laugh at them and say, I knew he was going to fall, you know. You pick them up, brush them off. You encourage them, you know. You don't tell them, well, see, you're not able. You can't walk. You won't ever walk. You might as well just forget it. Keep crawling. No, we encourage them. We stand them up. We hold them. We encourage them to walk. And that's the way we do our physical children. And that's the way we need to do our spiritual children as well. Encourage them and to be able to walk. So baptism is actually painting a picture of the salvation experience. Because what happens when we're saved? Again, you become a new person. Remember, that old sin nature is put to death. It's buried in a watery grave, and we're raised to walk in newness of life. Baptism is a picture of the salvation experience. That's what happens when we're saved. When I first repented of my sins and asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins, to cleanse me, to come live in my heart, help me to live for Him, then the picture of that experience was that old sin nature was put to death, buried, and I was raised a new creation in Christ Jesus. And that's what the baptism is a picture of what's actually happened. It's also a way of publicly professing our faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, the Bible says, "In whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead." So, it's a picture. Baptism's a picture of that salvation experience. In Romans chapter 6, in the first few verses there, chapter 6, the Bible says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we're buried with Him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, and that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." So, baptism is a picture of that salvation experience. When we've genuinely repented of our sins, we've invited Christ to become Lord of our life, then when we're baptized, we're actually painting a picture of what's already happened when we made that profession of our faith in Jesus Christ. And so, this morning we're going to see that picture painted for us. So, but before we do, we're going to give you an opportunity if there's something, decisions you need to make. God's here this morning. He's in the saving business. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior and let Him become the Lord of your life, Jesus will save you today. It's simple. If we'll repent of our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, the Bible says. And so He wants to save us. It's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so if there's someone here who's never trusted Him as Savior and let Him come Lord of their life, someone who's the Lord's dealing with their heart concerning other decisions or recommitting your life, joining the church, whatever God's dealing with your heart, we're going to give you that opportunity this morning. So I'm going to ask you to stand for a moment. And if God's laid something on your heart, then please, by all means, don't hold back. Let's pray. Father, we love You and thank You today for Your love. God, I thank You for these that are here. And Lord, I pray right now as the Holy Spirit speaks to hearts, deals with people, Lord, that they not quench the Spirit, but if there's something that someone needs to do, a commitment that needs to be made, Lord, whatever the situation is, I pray as You speak to hearts that we respond and that we don't hold back. We love You and we thank You for all out of Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, if there's something that God's dealing with your heart about, I invite you to come at this time and I'll be glad to pray with you. You don't need to confess anything to me. We'll confess it to the Lord. But God will save you. God will forgive you. God will help you to do whatever He's called you to do.